And now for something completely different. Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wild and wonderful. What's going to happen? We have no idea. Let's sit back and enjoy the ride. Can I get a Wowzer Bowser Wednesday because God is in charge of this crazy bus called The Christian Journey? First, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to break the rules by not following our usual traditions. This makes no sense to a lot of people, I understand. We normally don't teach about the times and the seasons, but today I will. So this is a Christmas message, a second Christmas message, which I don't think I've ever done that before. And this is really nothing connected to the norm. If you don't like Christmas because of the commercialism, if you don't like Christmas because of the secularism, if you don't like gift buying, then don't celebrate it that way. But don't impose that position on others, or it becomes a legalism that's being used. It's absurd to think that God is angry that people have chosen to honor him on a special day. And before you sit there and say it has a pagan entry point, Thursday, something you've said 1,000 times, is named after the god Thor, but nobody's beating you up for that. Next, the bottom line of Christmas is this: God doesn't want to be separated from us. You know what? That's all you got to remember about Christmas. You think I'm kidding? You're wrong. Remember what happened in the garden? Adam and Eve sinned and they hid from God. So what did God do? He called their names and pursued them. He didn't want to be separated from them. Finally, a bigger challenge for Christians is this: when Jesus was born, there was no room for him at the inn. And this is often the case for many American Christians. We think that Jesus is awesome, and what he did is awesome. But the truth is that we don't make room for him in many areas of our lives. For many people, Christmas is an opportunity and a time to change how we relate to God and to prioritize him above everything else.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show: lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, noive, so much more. Couple things. One, don't forget, it's not professional radio. We prove that every single day. On Monday, it was our 4-year and 9-month. I think we've proven it every single show. It's just not professional radio.
I almost forgot what day it was and said Thursday.
It's so funny. As people just know, it's life. We do what we can. We just survive it. 2 cans and a string. That's what you get. It's just radio, folks. And we're also, there's another thing about it. So we're asking you what you think. You might have a praise report. You might have a prayer request. You might have an answer to trivia. We'll get to that in a second. Here's the deal. The deal is, inside of you is a desire to share when it's a praise report and a desire to get help when it's a prayer request. Respond to that. There's something for that. Nobody's going to evaluate and judge you here and go, oh, that person's less than a Christian. We're all less than Jesus, which is why we need Jesus. That doesn't mean we can't grow. That doesn't mean we can't walk uprightly. That doesn't mean that we don't continue the process to reflect Jesus more and more, as the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:17-18, glory by glory, step by step. But until you are exactly, perfectly like Jesus in your exact thoughts, words, and actions, you're still on the trail with all of us. And we're all on the trail to be like Jesus. That's the goal. So in this process, if you've got a prayer request, share it. If you've got a praise report, share it. If you've got something going on, share it. The way you do that, you can reach out to us by sending an email, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you make that call, you'll end up talking to your good friend, Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob. Now, listen to this. A lot of you are like going, when's the last time this happened? Not as long ago as you think. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like trying a new food dish and loving it. See? Because you try something. Aww. I mean, it's like you try something you haven't tried before. You're like, wow, that's really good. Right?
I remember not too long ago, I finally tried, it was like shrimp. I'm telling you, it's not like some exotic food. I'm saying not that long ago. I'm saying within the last 5 years.
That's hilarious. So I tried
grilled shrimp
and
loved it.
Shrimp. That's great. That is absolutely hysterical. I mean, that's, and I'm glad you liked it. So shrimp, was it shrimp on the bobby? Was it scampi? What kind? Do you remember what it was? Was it like barbecue sauce? Was it butter? Was it garlic? Was it just shrimp?
Yeah, it was just shrimp.
Okay.
Yep. I couldn't tell you the details of like what kind it was or anything.
That is
just tried it and
that's just legend. That is legendary right there. I'm just gonna let that.
I know,
right?
You're expecting some crazy
type
of food. Shrimp.
I'll be honest. I really never tasted guacamole until I was in my 30s, because I always thought it's green, and I just was not like a green fan.
I've never had guacamole. Just every time I see it, I'm thinking I won't like that.
No, you will. I'm gonna have to destroy your life on that one, because I know somebody who makes the best guacamole in the world. I happen to be married to her, so it's a
instead
real
of a for Jake's take with sports, we got to do a Jake's take with food. Right?
okay, all right. So this is the kind of fun we have, folks. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is, hey, you got to want to call, call. You want to text, text. If you want to, send an email, send an email. It's not a problem. Here's your trivia question, though. Let's see if you can get this. This is a pretty good one. How long was Jonah inside the big fish? Was it a whale? Meh. Fish in that area were typically be more shark-like. And he wasn't in there with a rocking chair, and he had a fireplace, and he had a picture on the wall. Okay, that's weird. How long was Jonah inside the big fish? 3 days and three nights? 1 week? Or 5 days and five nights? How long was Jonah inside the big fish? A good reference point would also be Matthew 12:40. Would kind of speed up the process for you, because it says it right there specifically, just to let you know. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. And then additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. How long was Jonah inside the big fish? 3 days and three nights? 1 week? Or 5 days and five nights? That's the question. We do have somebody ready to answer the trivia. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary.
Hi, Gary. I'm so glad you called again. I am. I like it when you call. I like praying for you. I mean, it blesses me. So you're just going to have to keep doing it and push yourself. And when that part of you says don't call again, they'll pray for you, just do it anyway. Okay?
Okay.
All right, my friend. Here we go. How long was Jonah inside the fish? Was it 3 days and three nights? Was it 1 week, or was it 5 days and five nights?
It was 3 days and three nights.
That is correct, Amundo!
Jesus made reference to it.
That is exactly right. And I heard this sermon. Oh, let's see. I've got to go back about 35 years. I heard this sermon. This guy made this really hilarious point. And he says, you know, once the fish spit Jonah out, right? And then he's getting ready to do his preaching. He goes, you almost get the sense that maybe Jonah was hoping that there would be big applause and clapping that he's like there or whatever. And it's like he spit the fish out. Nobody noticed. It's like that's hilarious. You know, it's like nobody really saw what happened. It's like, yowza. Anyway, let me pray over you, brother. And I want to pray for some of the people in our audience as well. So let's do it combined. Let's pray. Father, we come before you right now. We thank you. We praise you. We worship you. First, we thank our God. That's just what we do, Lord. hallowed be thy name. Your awesomeness to us is just, we just can't calculate it. Can't do it. And we are so thankful for our brother Gary, and we're so thankful for our brother Ace, and we're thankful for the people that are in our lives, and we are asking for your healing power to be extended to our radio family people. We love them, Lord. We want them to be well. We want them to be healed. We don't want them to be suffering. We want them to be fully restored, fully healed, a complete healing in their lives. And I know they all have other things they're dealing with, but we're still asking you and petitioning you on this specific point, that you would bring healing into Ace, healing into Gary, healing into different people who are hearing my voice right now. And that by your power, by your anointing, by your spirit, they would be touched. And they would know that you are touching them. We can't do it, but you can do all things. So we ask you to do this to your honor and glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, and God bless you, and Merry Christmas.
God bless you, and Merry Christmas, my brother. All right. Excellente. Love it when Gary calls. All right. No, I got a couple things we got to do. We got to do our DNA. Plus, Jeanette asked me a question. I do want to answer it, so we're going to actually answer that. But first, I'm going to do DNA, because DNA is our building blocks. And if you don't have any building blocks, you can't play. See how that works? See, got to have building blocks in order to play. That's kind of how it goes. DNA. Here it is. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Every day. Every day, every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. You know, we do the show Monday through Friday, okay? Just spend time with the Lord every day. It doesn't matter. This show is not that time. I'm glad that you get to listen to the show, and that for a lot of people, it does bless them. For other people, it makes them nauseous. We understand. Here's what we're saying. Doesn't matter. Spend time with the Lord every day, period. And then we're going to talk about how you do that and how you develop that relationship right after we finish the DNA. And never, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never, 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 never be ashamed of what Jesus had to say. And then A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve, which is being like Jesus. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve, to care about others, to focus on others, to take care of them. As best as we are able should be how we function in following Jesus Christ. Your goal is not to just look in the mirror. Your goal is to also look out a window. That's a good line right there. Don't just look in a mirror, look out a window and see others and care for others and pray for others and connect to others and serve. Be available. The Lord wants us to be ready to serve. It says specifically in Luke chapter 12 to be ready to serve. Be ready to serve regardless, because that's what he desires of us. Okay? All right. Now, before we do anything else, I do want to answer something. So Jeanette asked I think it's a really good question. I just want to be able to answer it more specifically. I don't know, Jeanette, if this will give you the full of it, but she's just simply asking to move into a more of a relationship with the Lord. You know, what does that mean? Like, what does that look like? How does that get defined? And the way that I came into this is just how I'm going to share it. It is not the most brilliant theological answer. It's just what worked for me. And when the Lord started to draw me into a relationship with him, the things that he taught me were the simplest things, such as relationship requires communication. It requires two principal elements. It requires speaking or sharing, right? And it requires listening. So it's kind of a giving and receiving. My viewpoint in this, and not to be, you know, like, you know, weird or legalistic or churchianity about it, is God's word is how he speaks. And our prayer is how we share with him. He knows what we're going to pray, but wants us to spend the time in his presence. Because of the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, Hebrews makes it clear, especially in Hebrews chapter 10, that we can enter into the very presence of God through the redemption of Jesus Christ anytime we want. So it's 365, 24/7. So you can access and pray and spend time with the Lord anytime. And when you're reading the Word, don't just read it to read it. Read to hear what God has to say. And why I tell people that is because if you become more and more connected to the Word, when God speaks to you, you'll know what He sounds like because you know what His Word is. The key in this is the same key it would be for anybody anywhere else. Same thing that happened with my wife and I. We could not get enough time with each other. And it's still that way. And the more time we spend, the better it is. And it doesn't mean that you don't have the, you know, solitudes, or doesn't mean any of that. But what it does mean is that the key in a relationship is the consistency of spending time sharing and hearing and sharing and hearing. And I will tell you this, and I don't want anybody to New Age this out because I am super, super against everything and anything like that. But if you treat your relationship with the Lord like it's a chore, or you treat that relationship with the Lord like it's, you know, like something harsh or whatever, you're not in a relationship with the Lord. If you see it as yuck or, you know, hard or laborious, that is not how the relationship is for my wife and I. That was not how it is the first time we ever sat down and talked, which lasted about 9 to 10 hours the first time we ever talked to each other. I mean, talked. That's the kind of relationship I'm talking about, where you just love, just like don't want to go anywhere. Just want to listen, just want to share, just want to connect. That's what I'm talking about. Relationship-wise, there's no better scriptural reference than the Psalms, because David talks to God the way that we feel. It's such so good. And it's not that you don't just read the Psalms, obviously. And Abraham obviously had a great relationship, as well did Moses and everybody else. But David's writing in the Psalms is a fascinating look at how a man communes with God. That's what I would say. All right? All right, so we'll stop right there. We'll take our break. Then we'll come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
In 1 Samuel 5 and 6, it talks about the Ark of the Covenant. That's where the actually at the end of 1 Samuel chapter 5, that's where the movie, the Raiders of the Lost Ark, that's where they got the whole premise. 70 men, when the Ark came back, actually that's in 6, I'm sorry, 1 Samuel 6, they looked into the Ark, which God deemed disrespectful. And real life, and 70 people died because they looked into the Ark on the spot. That's from real, that's real stuff. That's not fake. But the idea, it didn't probably happen the way that they showed it in the movies, but okay. At least they tried to portray it, and at least they were accurate about what took place. But I think the important part is to understand the Philistine rulers were political leaders. They were political leaders. They got together for a political solution. That's what happened. The priests got together and made a decision. Instead of trying to overcome the power of God, they thought they'd make an offering to God. Return the ark to Israel. That spiritual solution worked. Got that? So political rulers making political decisions, failure. Priests making an offering to God and returning things to their proper place, solution. That's the key, people. I think that's the key. That's what we need. That's why we need a strong spiritual core in the church. Not just you in your church, but the church in large. Trust me when I say this. When they start shooting Christians because we're Christians, when it becomes more like China and they start beating us because we're Christians, the denominational issue will fade to the white. And for all of the people that say, no, that can't be, you are way, way wrong. Church history has repeated itself several times. It's the exact same thing. Keep in mind, the church has been around a little longer than America. Oh, tell that to some Christians, they want to shoot you. It's weird. Anyway, as the kicker to that is the five rats. I think that's the funniest part of all, that they actually had to make five golden rats representing the five political leaders. A divine humor saying sometimes political leaders can be like rats. That's kind of what that's saying. And it's human proclaimed, but is it Jesus approved? That's the question. Anyway, we've had a phenomenal show. I'd say phenomenal. Would you call it phenomenal? I call it phenomenal.
I don't even know what phenomenal.
Super phenomenal.
Super phenomenal. We've had a super phenomenal show, and I just want to say that we really appreciate all of our guests. We have a terrific. I mean, we have something. I got something for tomorrow. Oh my goodness, it's called the nagging theory. You ever heard that? It's called the nagging theory. For all of those young Jewish boys out there who have grown up in that same kind of process, you will understand. It's the nagging theory. We're going to talk about that. And then a few more things about, a few more things we're going to give away. Something interesting happened in Alabama Supreme Court. A lot of good political stuff that we're going to talk about, but mostly Kingdom of God stuff, because, you know, everything else compared to advancing the kingdom of God, everything else is just interesting.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. I like hearing some of those older fills. They just remind me, it's a good thing I wasn't arrogant back then. Anyhow, let's just move on.
When was that, Phil?
It was years ago. Let's put that years ago, which is all I'm going to say. I didn't do it in Texas. Let's put it that way. Let's get ready for our next trivia question. Here you go. The first example of tithing appears in Genesis 14 when Abraham gives a tenth of his battle winnings to this high priest. Was it Eleazar, Uncle Sam, or Melchizedek? Who did Abraham pay his battle winnings to? And by the way, it was his battle winnings. He didn't go home, get a tenth of everything he had back in home. It was what he had won. It was his plunder. He gave 10% of his plunder. Was it to Eleazar? Was it to Uncle Sam? Or was it to Melchizedek that Abraham paid those tithes? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. That is the question. By the way, your reference, I'm trying to think if I should give you a reference point. Yeah, you guys can get that one. I think you guys can get that one. I'm going to let that go and just give you that opportunity. In the meantime, we're going to get into, we're going to wait on the jokes and on the history. We're going to get into the text. This is called Merry Christmas, Baby. Merry Christmas, Baby. That's what it's called. Here we go. Let's understand Christmas. This is by far the most important thing on Christmas, I'm going to tell you right now. Ready? All right. Exodus 3, 11 through 12. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring out the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you, and this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you've brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." Okay, stop. Exodus 3, 11 through 12. Moses said, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring in the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you, and this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." Who am I? Let me just make this absolutely clear. This is the same question I'm asking every one of you that can hear me right now. Who are you? And let me give you the answer. Nobody, unless God is with you. What? Nope. Nobody, unless God is with you. You and of yourself as a sinful being apart from God have a monetary value of something fabulous. You have a lifespan of 120 if you're exceedingly lucky and blessed, I suppose. But apart from God, you and I, we are nobody. We find our value and our understanding and our worth and our existence in our Creator. We are the creation. Therefore, the Creator is the one that helps us understand what we're doing in our existence. And unless the Lord is with us, it doesn't matter. And what he said to Moses, Moses was like, "Well, who am I?" And God said, "I'm with you. That's all you need to get it done." Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 23. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, did not want to expose her to public disgrace, had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what was said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. This is what Christmas is. This is it. Right there. God is with us. Yes, he's for us, but it's with us. And we're with him and for him. But he's on our side. And when God is on our side, all the value changes, all the position changes, all of your understanding of your worth changes because God is with you. And God is the one that adds the value to you. And so what we need to understand is Isaiah 59:2, your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so he will not here. That's the problem that happened. The solution comes from Jesus Christ, who in verse 21 says, she will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. That sin that separated you, you have been saved from through Jesus Christ. That's Christmas. Don't give me all that. It doesn't matter. I mean, I have celebrated 45 Christmases. Some of them, I consider myself a staunch Jewish Christian believer because all those Christmases didn't go that good. But the reality is none of that stuff, none of the commercialism, none of the big shows, none of that stuff has anything to do with anything. In fact, and you know this is a fact, when God made the proclamation that he was with us, he didn't exactly tell the media, he didn't tell the political leaders, he didn't tell academia, he didn't tell the religious leaders. He told the shepherds, the regular person. That's who he told. So what we find out is Exodus 3 tells us we're nobody without God. Matthew 8, 1, 18 through 23, God is with us. That's where we get to be something. Our sins has separated us from God. Isaiah 59, but the solution is in Jesus Christ, who when he was born, through Jesus, he came to save his people from those sins. So again, in Jesus, there is no separation from God. And that's what Christmas is about. That's what it's supposed to be about. That God said, nah, I want you guys to hang out with me for all eternity. Want to come? And that's where we're at with Christmas. Get that? Wow. Wow, right? Okay, let's take back to our trivia question. First example in tithing appears in Genesis 14 when Abraham gave a tenth of his battle winnings to the high priest. Was that Eleazar, Uncle Sam, or Melchizedek? And the answer is Melchizedek. That is the answer. We are going to take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. Your break will be back. Don't go anywhere. Just
as I am. Hey there, it's Amazing Jennifer, and I am helping out the David Spoon Experience. As you may know, I basically run the KAAM radio station.
Amazing!
And Dr. Dave is looking for a few good people to join and become representatives, ambassadors, and stewards of this here radio ministry. Now, you may be thinking, well, I'd love to get involved, but I'm not very qualified for ministerial positions. Well, the truth is that because you are a child of our Heavenly Father, that you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you seek to live by the power of the Holy Spirit, you have all you need to be a part of this ministry. But Jennifer, don't I need to be perfect? No. Just go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. click on the three lines at the top right of the website and then click on the Ambassadors Initiative link. Just fill out the form and we will reach out to you. But sorry, no parking tickets will be paid for you as an ambassador through this position. You are on your own with that.
The David Spoon Experience.
So in this position, I have the opportunity to interview people and have so for the last 5 years from all across the range of Christianity, from authors and from actors and musicians. We are about to have an opportunity we've never had on this show. We actually have Lee Strobel on the phone with us. It was 19 years ago, I believe, this September 1st, where his book came out, The Case for Christ. If you're Jewish like I am and then became a Christian, that was when you went, oy vey. This book was a life changer for many, and now it's a movie. Lee, are you there on the phone with us?
I am, David. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing fantastic. Thrilled to have you on the show. It's
Thank you. My privilege.
I just got to start. I know they give you a list of questions just so you can know, Lee. I never use them. So
good for you.
It's like, come on. I want to tell you, we're brothers here
Absolutely.
In the Lord. Talk to me. First of all, you wrote this book, The Case for Christ. Let's first talk about the writing of the book, and then we'll talk about that connection to the movie. Why did you write this book?
Well, I didn't start out to do that. I mean, I was an atheist. My wife became a Christian. So in order to try to rescue her from this Christian cult, I decided to use my journalism training and legal training and disprove Christianity to show that the resurrection never really happened. Of course, I ended up coming to the opposite conclusion and ended up coming to faith. But I did this investigation for my own edification, for my own education, not because I wanted to write a book. And then it was actually later my wife said to me, hey, you ought to write a book about that. I said, really? And she said, sure. So that's how the book came about.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for your next trivia question. I hope you guys are ready for this one. This is a good one. To whom did God say, this is a tough one, to whom did God say, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples shall be separated from your body? To whom did God say, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples shall be separated from your body? Was it to Hagar, Sarah, or Rebecca? Hagar, Sarah, or Rebecca? Your reference point is Genesis 25, 21 through 23. Who did God say to, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples shall be separated from your body? Was it to Hagar, Sarah, or Rebecca? What's amazing about this text that nobody, and again, the reference point, Genesis 25, 21 through 23. What's amazing about this text is how nobody uses this in regards to quote unquote abortion issues, because God said there's two people in your womb.
It's just a fetus.
Well, then tell God he's wrong. After all, he is the creator of the universe and the creator of mankind. Okay. See what I'm going there? All right. So, simple question. To whom did God say, two nations are in your womb and two people shall be separated from your body? Was it to Hagar? Was it to Sarah? Or was it to Rebecca? If you think you know the answer, you can reach out to us, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. At this particular time, I'm going to send you up to the website because I have to. That's why. Because I have this big sign on the wall that says website. It says site. And so I need to do it, or I'm going to get a pink ping pong ball thrown at me. So I want to make sure to get through that. So I'm going to send you to the site. And I want to tell you a couple things before I do. First, our scripture for donation, Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So if you have an opportunity to give, give. If you don't have an opportunity to give, then don't give. Pray and ask the Lord to put you in that position. But join our struggle by praying with us. We could use the help. Trust me. Few people on this planet that need prayer more than I do. So I just want to say that. The other thing is that on the website, it's loaded with says 4,500 hours, access to 4,500 hours of podcasts. I mean, there's a lot there. Plus articles, videos, audios, plus interviews, plus sermons, blah, 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 blah. There's so much. The only way to really figure out what's there, get this, is to check it out. You see how that works? The only way to really figure it out is to check it out. That would be the key. So we're going to send you up to the website. Please go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
Be sure and tell them Large Marge sent ya.
That's just so funny. I mean, you guys, if you're not if you don't laugh at stuff like that, you're wound up too tight. Just unwind a little. How about that? Just unwind the rubber band just a little, okay? All right, somebody is ready to answer the trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
David, this is Ken.
Hey, Ken. How are you?
I am wonderful today.
I am glad to hear you're doing wonderful. That is awesome, my brother. That's so good. Are you ready for
That's my standard. That's my standard answer anyway, or it's another day in paradise. And,
you know,
and then I start overthinking that, you know, that there's really not paradise anymore since anyway. Yeah, I have an answer.
Okay. Before you get there, let me say that the typical standard Christian answer in church is fine. How you doing? Fine.
Fine.
Fine. How are things? Fine. I lost my dog. I lost my wife. I lost my car. I lost my job. Fine. Okay. Anyway, I just want to say that people do that quite a bit, don't they? Standard Christian answer. All right. I'll set it up for you. You hit it out for me. All right. Here we go. The question is pretty straightforward. To whom did God say, two nations are in your womb, two peoples will be separated from your body? Was it to Hagar, Sarah, or Rebecca?
Well, it was going to be Rebecca.
That is correct! Right there! She had twins, and the Lord said, okay, you got two people in there, and they're fighting, and you got two nations, and it's going to be messy, but okie dokie. So that's how that happened. Oh, my goodness. Excellent job, Ken. That's right on target. So that should just cheer you up that much more.
Well, you know, I was, I'll tell you something real quick that, you know, years ago, I was, you know, we were with a bunch of friends, and then they started talking about the Bible. And I'm like, I didn't know. And so, and then I was watching this movie. It was a war movie, Fury, and they, Brad Pitt and this other guy called Bible, and they were talking back and forth, and they were talking scripture, you know, and it was Isaiah 6:15 or something anyway. And the guy in the tank was just watching him, you know, and kind of looking like, and I'm like going, I don't want to be that guy. And then so,
awesome.
So I get, you know, on all my apps, you know, I'm like, you know, the trivia stuff comes in and I'm like, okay. So my first time I did that, I was like, you know, I had to stop. It was so humiliating. So, you know, I like to know, I read every year and have, and I hours a day, you know, I think about it. And but it's the most exciting book. It's got so much in there. It's amazing. So I'm really glad for your show, and you've got that, and all the folks that call in. You know, I pray for them too. And I have I have a prayer today also.
That's awesome.
And that would be
go ahead
for more laborers.
For all the laborers in the kingdom.
To increase laborers.
Yes.
Increase the laborers.
That's right.
Yep.
Pray to the Lord of harvest that he will send laborers into the harvest. That's exactly right. That's a phenomenal petition statement. You want to pray with me right now on it?
Yes, sir.
Let's do it. Let's pray. Father, we come before you right now. I thank you for my brother, and I ask you to bless him. I ask you to encourage him. Dogs are okay, Lord. You made them. Here's the bottom line, Lord. We ask you to just send more people into labor into the kingdom of God who will be willing to work, help, strengthen, bless, lift up, encourage, inspire, challenge, and again, lift up people who are hurting. Help us, Lord. We need leaders that can help all of us. None of us are avoided that. We need everybody to help everybody, and we need your help to coordinate that. We're way too out of that to do it. Please be our coordinator. Please send laborers into the harvest. We plead with you and pray in accordance with what Jesus said. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen, my brother. Excellent call. Excellent, excellent job.
All right, well, tell those folks in San Diego not to be shy that you'll answer their phone calls, too.
You got it, man. You got it. Bless you, brother.
Thanks, David. Merry Christmas.
You too. Merry Christmas.
Bye-bye. Bye.
All right. We got a crew, don't we? we have people, don't we? All right, here. Let me get into this text real quickly because you just start timing. You know how these things go like this. So here, Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 7. I'm going to pick it up. Well, I'll just read through it. Listen, in the days of Caesar Augustus, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house in the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. That's right, firstborn son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. So there has been a ton of theological discussion on the inn, and what that meant is that the inn with the bottom was filled, or the bottom was open, but the main rooms for people was filled, and there's all this conjecture. It's like, I think that's great. I think it's totally okay for people to go down that road and to speak about that. That's great, but that's not what I want to talk about. What I want to talk about is this. There was no room. There was no room for Jesus. That's what I want to talk about. Why? Because what area in our lives is there no room for Jesus? Well, I like Jesus on Sundays, but by golly, leave my Friday and Saturday nights alone. Or I love Jesus so much, except when football's on. Or I love Jesus on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings, but the rest of it's all open. It's like, that's not how that works. So the real question is, what area for us is there no room for him in? That's the challenge. So, you know, what areas in our lives there's no room for Jesus? John chapter 1, verse 11, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. What areas have we not received Jesus in? People are like, well, you shouldn't say receive or accept. Oh, be quiet. Semantics on stuff like that's absurd. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is, if we did not receive him into our lives, if we say, yes, you are our Savior, but we don't say you are the Lord of our lives, then we give him some space, but not all space. So is he the Lord of our lives? Not just, is he the Lord? What area in our lives do we need to make room for him? And by the way, you shouldn't go out of that with guilt. You should come out of that going, yeah, I got to make more room. See, here's what the devil does. And the devil's not an idiot. He's been fighting mankind since, the garden? That tells you everything you want to know. The enemy knows how to operate against people. We just fortunately have the truth that gives us an understanding. Here's what the devil does. You hear something in the word, and the devil is like, you don't do that. Remember, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. So who is that? That's you, brethren, which is family in totality. So what does that mean? It means this. He is accusing you to the Lord and you to yourself. So you hear something in the word and you go, I don't do that. Instead of going, oh, woe is me. It's my birthday. Don't do that. Say, man, I got to do a better job than that. Lord, help me out. That's what this is. That's what the relationship is. That's what the partnership is. This isn't a job interview. God's not giving you a quiz every 3 seconds. It feels like it because you're in a sinful world. That's not what's going on. Get it? Here's the deal. What area do you need to open up more to Jesus? It could be something as simple as I need to open him up into my less TV time. That could be it. I don't know. It could be I need to open up where I just talk to him. Like he hears me. You know, when you talk to the Lord, he hears you. So do we act that way? Do we function that way? Or do we body position differently? What area is there no room for Jesus in? Can't do that. Ask the Lord to help you do better. Every day, if you have to. I do every day. Every day. What am I not doing? I'm just trying to be honest. Because there's so much I mess up in. I just recognize the mess. Lord, help me do better. That's the prayer. Okay? All right, we'll take our break, and then we'll come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
There was a pastor. Now, I use that word with some reservation. Having been involved in ministry and having the privilege of planting seven churches throughout the United States and having three separate ordinations, I have a tremendous amount of respect for people who commit their lives into ministry. But whenever there's somebody on television or anywhere else that is a nut job, then I just call it like I see it. Okay, that's what I call it. Call it like I see it. On the Sean Hannity Show, roughly about 2 weeks ago, a reverend, so-called Reverend Oliver White was on the show, and Reverend Wright said this, and I'm going to repeat it because some of these things are just unbelievable. He said that Jesus was wrong about marriage. At least he didn't have the audacity to say he never said anything about marriage. He said Jesus was wrong about marriage and that marriage should be more than between a man and a woman. And then he proceeded to say this statement, ladies and gentlemen. He said this. Now, this isn't even the thing that's irritating. Then he proceeded to say this. If Jesus were alive today, he said, he would say, I didn't know it all. This is a man who's supposed to be representing Jesus Christ as a minister. This guy's no minister. And if you want to say, well, that's judging, I'll take that judgment all day long. All day long, I'll take that judgment, no matter what anybody says. Here's a guy that says two things. One, Jesus was wrong about marriage. Two, if Jesus were alive today, any person who proclaims or professes to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ and questions whether Jesus Christ is alive today or not is not a minister, but a false teacher. I don't care. I don't care if you like it. I don't care if you think that's mean. That's irrelevant. Facts are facts. And here's the thing that just overwhelms me. This overwhelms me, ladies and gentlemen. Any person who is in public office, now this goes with this, all three of these things go together. Any person who is in public office who changes their convictions about same-sex marriage because another family member has made a decision to go into the lifestyle of being gay or lesbian, any person who changes their convictions, their biblical Christian convictions, based on another family member changing their status into a gay or lesbian lifestyle, and then that person then changes their Bible convictions to accommodate their family member, is not fit to be a Christian. That's right. I said it.
And if you can't shout sight, you'll have to face a penalty. And as with every penalty...
Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Last trivia question, quick history, just because there's something really funny about it. And let's do that, and then we'll finish up on the teaching. I think it's really good. Don't forget, tomorrow we are preempted for basketball. So there will be no show tomorrow, and then I will be here on Friday. Yep, I know you're thinking, why are you going to be here on Friday? Why not? And then on Monday it'll be Christmas, and the whole place will be closed, and There will be a replay, but I'm sure you guys will probably be busy anyway. But maybe it'll be a blessing for you. You never know. All right, here's your trivia question. After God knew Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son Isaac, the angel stopped him. So then Abraham sacrificed what instead? Was it a ram that was trapped nearby? Was it his noisy neighbor, Mr. Kravitz? Or was it a dove? That's the question. Your reference point, Genesis 22:13. 22:13. That is your reference point. After God knew Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son Isaac, the angel stopped him. Abraham sacrificed what instead? A ram that was trapped nearby? His noisy neighbor, Mr. Kravitz. Boy, that brings back 1960 sitcoms, doesn't it? Or a dove. Which of those, if you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. Somebody is ready to answer the trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is JD again.
Hello, JD again. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you very much, sir.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Beautiful day, huh? Beautiful, beautiful day out today, is it? All right. You ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Y'all set it up. You hit it out. After God knew Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son Isaac, an angel stopped him. Abraham sacrificed what instead? Was it a ram that was trapped nearby, his noisy neighbor, Mr. Kravitz, or a dove?
What's behind door number one? A ram.
That is correct, Amundosa! Although the noisy Mr. Kravitz, the neighbor, boy, did that take me back to 60s 60s sitcom right on the spot. It's like, whoa, that was a while back then. excellent job, and that was just phenomenal. I appreciate you doing that, and I hope you are doing phenomenal. Get ready to have a very Merry Christmas.
Oh, and you too.
All right, sir. All right. God bless you, bro.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Excellent job. Great job by JD. All right, we're going to do history real fast, and then I got to teach this one thing. Let's do history fast, fast, fast.
Let's go live in the past. Let's go live in the past.
All right, there's more things that I could share, but I'm not going to because we're limited on time. Today is National Ugly Christmas Sweater Day. I mean, that's just good. I mean, I don't care what anybody says. It's hilarious.
You have any ugly sweaters?
Every sweater I have is ugly. Whether they're Christmas or not, it doesn't matter.
Right,
every one I have is just horrible. For those that care about more of the sentimental things, 1946, It's a Wonderful Life, starring James Stewart and Donna Reed, premiered. That's classic, right?
I have not seen that. I'm going to watch it soon.
Oh, my goodness. You will absolutely love that.
Yeah, that's a big movie I have not seen.
That's a big one. Okay, and then this I have to do because you can't make this stuff up. Remember, I'm the guy that tells you, and I tell you this, I have no problem. And yes, these are my original lines. Media, yes, I made this up. Media stands for making everyone dumber in America. And then news with an agenda is propaganda. Well, it just so happens on this day in 1842, the first fake news report came out in the United States of America. The first American bathtub was a big title, fake news. The first American bathtub was installed and is said to be installed on December 20th, 1842. It was completely made up. None of it was true. And then they acknowledged that afterwards. So fake news has been around for a long time. That's all I'm going to say. That's that. Okay. That people are just like, yeah, I can't top that. Had to do that one. All right, here we go. Last bit. Here we go. Love this. I hope I don't mess it up. Here we go. Just going right to it. Matthew chapter 2, verse 23. And he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophet. He will be called a Nazarene. Okay, that's Matthew 2, 23. What? He's going to be called what? A Nazarene. He was not did not take the Nazarite vow. He was a Nazarene. There's a big difference. The next thing I want to read, John chapter 1, verse 43 through 46. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph." Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Nathaniel asked. Come and see, said Philip. Thinking, how's that got to do with Christmas? What is that? Jesus was from Nazareth. So when Nathaniel says, can anything good come from Nazareth? The reason is because nothing good came out of Nazareth. You're missing the point. Nothing good came out of there. It was like yuck, 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 yuck. Think of the worst possible city ever in your life, and at least there, or at least double it. Why is that important, and how does that have anything to do with anything on Christmas? Because God brings gold out of the garbage. That's why. What do you mean, God brings gold out of the garbage? Nazareth, yuck. You wouldn't send your enemies through Nazareth. You go to Nazareth, like, yeah, I don't think so. Guess what? That's where the Messiah came out of. And so when Nathaniel says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? He wasn't being mean at all. He's being honest. Like, nothing good comes out of there. What are you talking about? The Messiah comes out of there. God brings gold out of garbage. You know those things in your life that you think just garbage, total waste, nothing to it, nothing good? Really? God doesn't operate that way. Those things that you've gone through that have been hard, that things that you're going through that are hard, or those things you will go through that will be hard, they'll be difficult. I have a message for you, and it's two words, and it's not happy birthday. Here's what it is. God happens. Is that just the greatest thing? Listen, God happens. How often do you hear that? He brings gold out of the garbage. And what you think is going to be a disaster, the Lord can make the greatest of all. What you think will be nothing, worth nothing, God will make worth more than you could ever imagine. That is who we deal with. That is what Christmas is. That God took the garbage of us and brought something good out of it through Jesus Christ. You're gold because of God. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the true station here in Texas. Going to take a 46-and-a-half-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
I will lay me down in peace and sleep.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.